بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, Alhamdulillah, thumma Alhamdulillah, thumma Alhamdulillah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought us into the most noble, the most profitable, and the most high profile season in the entire Islamic calendar. The month of Ramadan, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ لَنَفَحَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, within the Islamic calendar, special events, special moments, special times, special places, wherein the rahmah, the mercy, the barakat, the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is descending in torrents. And the month of Ramadan is the most noble, the most profitable of all these seasons. That is why, on the last day of Sha'ban, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would address the sahaba radiallahu anhum, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قَدْ أَظَلَّكُمْ شَهْرٌ عَظِيمٌ مُبَارَكٌ. But oh my companions, a very great and noble month has come, a month which is full of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And various virtues of the month of Ramadan have been mentioned. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah would say that when the month of Ramadan comes, then how is it possible for a believer not to rejoice, not to feel happy that now the doors of Jannah have been opened far and open wide. The doors of Jannah have been open wide. And how is it possible for a sinful person not to feel solace that now the doors of Jahannam have been closed and locked? And how is it possible for any intelligent person, any person who has some understanding, not to take comfort in the fact that now the shayateen have been tied up? In other words, the pathway has been paved. That person who is looking for forgiveness, looking for Allah's rahmat, he's in some difficulty, he's looking for some solution, he's looking for something in his life, now is the moment. Not just the last 10 nights, but the entire month of Ramadan Allah has given to us. And not only has Allah brought us into the month of Ramadan, but Allah gave us tawfiq of standing in Taraweeh Salah. Just for us to understand what a bounty, what a ni'mat, what a blessing this is. That in today's time, even if a person goes to Haramain Sharifain, Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara, and who doesn't want to go? But there also he won't get the opportunity of 20 rakats of Taraweeh Salah. We all understand the condition. But in our own country, our doorstep, 5-10 minutes away from our homes, Allah has created the means and the avenue for us to perform 20 rakats of Taraweeh Salah. So we should make this our habit that in the month of Ramadan and after the month of Ramadan also, whatever a'mal, whatever good deeds Allah gives us tawfiq to do, the first thing is to make shukr to Allah. Express our appreciation, our gratitude before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Allah has promised that person who will make shukr, he will be appreciative, he will show gratitude for my bounties, then I will give him tawfiq to continue and to carry on and progress in that bounty. So the first thing, every good action that Allah gives us tawfiq to do in the month of Ramadan, we express our gratitude before Allah. And the second thing that we should all try and do is ask and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it from us. This is the most important thing which mashayikh over and over and over again mention. That all our good deeds, we don't know whether they will be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. So, these two things we try and do inshallah during the month of Ramadan. Whatever a'mal Allah gives us tawfiq to do, when it comes to our taraweeh salah, inshallah tomorrow we'll wake up for sehri, person will get the opportunity of performing tahajjud salah, then we'll make tilawat of the Quran Sharif, we'll take the name of Allah, we'll make dua. Whatever good actions we do, these two things remember, that we make shukr to Allah, with this, that Allah gives us tawfiq to continue, and we ask and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it from us. Nevertheless, respected brothers and elders, we would have seen on the poster that this program after Taraweeh is a very brief program, and it has been written on the poster that this is a synopsis of what was recited in the Taraweeh Salah. But as Hazrat Mu'anayim Sahib Dam Barakatuhu mentioned last year also, it is impossible to condense an ocean into a teacup. The reality is that the Quran Sharif, the meanings, the wisdom, and what has been contained within the Quran is an ocean which has no shore. A person just has to walk into any Islamic library or bookstore and he'll see that volumes and volumes and volumes have been written on one verse, one ayat of the Quran Sharif. But nevertheless, whatever meanings we can understand, whatever message Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, what is our intention, respected brothers and elders? This is the most important thing as we are seated here. Allah gave us tawfiq to sit and to listen. But this should not just be some customary practice that now the month of Ramadan has come and there'll be some program in the masjid, we'll sit for a while and see what is being said. But there's an objective, a goal behind it. That we reconnect with the Quran Sharif. One pious person mentioned that the Quran in reality is a 30 chapter love letter from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his servants. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to tell us in this Quran, the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah wants us to stay away from, the whatever Allah has given us in the Quran for our success in this dunya also, our qabr, our akhirat, our intention as we sit here is that we reconnect with the Quran Sharif, that we create some sort of ta'alluq, some sort of link, so that when the month of Ramadan will leave also, we will remain connected to the Quran Sharif. The more a person will understand and will learn what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, then we'll see the desire will increase within us. That now, rather than waiting for the Taraweeh to end, we'll hope that it just continues and continues. When the month of Ramadan ends, a person will say, I wish I had more time now to read Quran. Now I've got lunch to eat in the day, I've got breakfast when I wake up. I wish that I was fasting the entire year round so I can use that time to read the Quran Sharif. The desire will be there to listen to the Quran Sharif also. So that is one thing. Secondly, the other thing for us to take note of is, when it comes to the division of the Quran Sharif, and very importantly for us to understand that the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that the Quran is divided into 114 surahs, which are the chapters of the Quran. This was the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as instructed by Jibreel alaihi salam, as told to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was the practice that was prevalent amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Thereafter, as time went on for ease of recitation, for ease of memorization, the Quran was then divided into what we have today as the 30 paras or the ajza of the Quran. And because generally our Taraweeh Salah takes place over 29 or 30 nights, so we find that the Quran will be divided into these 30 ajza and will be recited accordingly. But the original sunnah, the original practice and teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that the Quran is distributed and divided over 114 surahs and chapters. And the first surah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins with is Suratul Fatiha. Those who have some sort of understanding of the Arabic language will know Fataha Yaftahu means to open. So Al-Fatiha means the opening, or what can be termed as the introduction of the Quran. Many other names have been mentioned also. One name is Ummul Quran. It has been called the mother of the Quran. Asasul Quran, the foundation or the basis of the Quran. In one hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told one Sahabi, let me teach you a'zamu suratin fil Quran, the greatest surah in the Quran. In other words, what is contained within these seven verses of Suratul Fatiha will give us, so to say, an overview of what comes in the entire Quran. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise, all accolades, all achievement, all goodness belongs to Allah, who is Rabbul Alameen, the nurturer, the sustainer of all the realms. Allah is drawing our attention to the fact that praise already is for Allah. Allah does not need our ibadat. Allah does not need us to praise Him. Allah does not need us to read the Quran for Him to be praiseworthy. But all praise belongs only and solely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Then Allah gives us an introduction to who He is. And we know in this world generally, when a person has to introduce himself to somebody, then he will either mention his name, or he will mention that attribute or that quality that is ghalib, that is dominant within him. So a person is a police officer, there is some robbery taking place, and he arrives at the scene. Then, although that police officer may be a father, he may be a brother, he may be a son, he is somebody's neighbor, but he will introduce himself as the police officer, because this is the attribute or the quality that is required at that time. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces us to himself by saying Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. In other words, these are the qualities that are dominant, that are overwhelming within Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is His rahmat and His mercy. And that is why the hadith al-Qudsi is mentioned, that inscribed on the arsh of Allah, written on the throne of Allah is, Inna rahmati sabaqat ghadabi, that my mercy overpowers and supersedes my anger. Allah is teaching us that your Allah is an Allah who is Rahman, who is Rahim, He is full of mercy. In other words, Allah is not waiting to punish us. And that is why Allah gives us these opportunities, the month of Ramadan. Then the last 10 nights will come, the night of Qadr will come. And throughout the entire year, Allah gives us opportunities because Allah wants to shower His mercy upon us. Allah has brought us, and we mentioned last year also, that when we are seated in the house of Allah, just the fact that we are here is a sign that Allah wants to give us something. So Allah introduces Himself as Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm Al-Din. Then Allah says, that he is the owner of the Day of Judgment. And here Mufassirin explained that we are speaking about the Day of Judgment, and therefore the most appropriate attribute would have been for Allah to say that he is the judge of the Day of Judgment. But Allah chose to say Maliki Yawm al-Din. Allah is the owner of the Day of Judgment. Why? Because in this world, a judge also, although he has supreme authority to pass judgment, but he also has to pass judgment within the framework of the law. He is not allowed to go outside of the law book. He is also answerable to the lawmakers. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Qiyamah is the owner of the Day of Qiyamah. In other words, a person can come on the Day of Qiyamah and all evidence can be pointing against him, that he has violated and broken every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he is destined for Jahannam. But because Allah is the Malik, Allah is the owner of the Day of Qiyamah, Allah has the right to ignore the evidence and to make this person maghfirat and enter him into the gardens of Jannah. Once Allah has introduced himself to us, now Allah says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. When a person understands who is Allah, that he is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, he is the Malik, now Allah says that each person should say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. Oh Allah, it is only you who we worship. We don't bow our heads down before anybody else. We don't place our trust or reliance upon anybody else, any other being, any other avenue. But our trust, our reliance, our hopes are all placed upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And it is you alone who we ask assistance. It is you alone who we seek help from. It is you alone who we ask for our needs. Here also, the beauty of the Arabic language is that it should have been نَعْبُدُكَ وَنَسْتَعِينُكَ. We worship you and we seek assistance from you. But Allah mentions إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. You alone. It is only you. There is no sharik, no partner. There is nobody else who we worship, nobody else who we seek assistance from. And then Allah tells us what is the first thing or the most important thing that a person should be asking from Allah. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ. Is that a person should constantly ask Allah for hidayat, for guidance. Guidance, not just generally when we speak about guidance, we speak about as far as our iman is concerned, our akhirat is concerned. Of course, this is the most important form of guidance. But guidance in every affair, when it comes to our worldly decisions, when it comes to our decision making regarding our families, our children, we should be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. That Allah, you guide us, you show us the right way. You guide us to do that which is pleasing to you. And then Allah tells us a very easy solution to find الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. How do we find the straight path? صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah says the path of those people who you have favored. The path of those people who Allah has favored. In other words, Mufassirin have written that Allah is telling us in Kitabullah, in the book of Allah, Allah is telling us that if you want true guidance, and if you want to be successful in dunya, in qabr, in akhirat, as far as your iman is concerned, then you will have to follow Rijalullah. Alladhina an'amta alayhim, those men of Allah, those chosen friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have got a connection with Allah. If you will follow them, and you will take guidance from them, then you will find your way onto the straight path. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. And then Allah says, not the path of those who Allah's anger is upon, or those who are misguided, those who are astray. In other words, this is referring to the Yahud and the Nasara. Allah is telling us that in our path in this world, in the deen of Islam, there are no two ways. It is just one way, the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. The teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are pristine, are pure, are clear. There is no need for any change, any additions, any subtractions. And if a person will follow the way of any other group or any other religion, then he will find himself misguided. So in these few verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the summary of how to be successful in dunya, in qabr, and in akhirat. And thereafter Surah Al-Baqarah starts, and various different incidents have been mentioned. Time has already run out. This is just a small glimpse into Surah Al-Fatiha. As we mentioned, Mufassirin, and we can open any tafsir, and we'll see that many of the tafasir, the entire first volume has been dedicated, or a large part of the first volume has been dedicated to the tafsir of just Surah Al-Fatiha alone. And we read the surah in every salah, so we should try and make this intention at least. This is just a small glimpse into Surah Al-Fatiha. But this is a surah that we are reading throughout the year in every salah, our fard salah, our nafil salah, our sunnat salah. So we should make this intention to try and learn at least the tarjuma, the translation of Surah Al-Fatiha, and some of the meanings that Allah has kept within the surah, and then see what a difference we will find within our salah, inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.